Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, April 1st, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined as always by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, good morning, everybody.
Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
Happy Groundhog Day.
What's up, boys?
Sure feels like it, right? Same old, same old.
Same old stuff, Bickle.
Yeah. Well, did you guys actually go through with your Takeout Tuesday?
I did.
Absolutely.
I did not.
Forgot to text you, but yes, I did. I did it on the way home from the golf course. The golf
shocker, EB forgot.
No, I didn't forget. I didn't want to do it.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't want to bring. Honestly, I'm weirded out about bringing the food in. There's a whole process I would have to do it. You know, I'm trying to follow what this doctor in Michigan said to do with food when you bring it into the house, including takeout. You know, you got to dump it on the table. You got to separate everything. He suggests, you know, you throw it in the microwave. It's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we didn't do that.
I didn't do that either.
No, I brought it home and I took it out and everybody ate it.
I went to a place right here in the neighborhood. I don't know. We don't have to play the game like we did yesterday and guess the other person's takeout.
Yeah.
I just went to a spot here in the neighborhood. I went to Coastal Flats. And I feel for a place like Coastal Flats. I think it's owned by Great American Restaurants. Mm-hmm. They own Artie's. I think you frequent with that, Cakes.
Love it. So
good. Oh, I love Artie's.
They do have the best bread.
Bread's like tell a you, donut.
The little bread was amazing last night.
The sweet butter.
Oh, Coastal so Flats. But, I mean, I just feel bad for a business like that because they basically got two guys working there. They had a limited menu. And the one guy came out there with his gloves and handed me the food. And the five of us crushed it. It was great. But I just don't know how a place like that survives if this lasts a couple of months.
Yeah, right. It's got to be brutal.
I mean, yeah, a lot of questions.
I don't have the answers.
No sit down business, limited alcohol sales. You know, I would guess they're still selling some, but not near the volume they were.
You just got to hope that the parent company, you know, Great American Restaurants, has enough loot that they can carry it for a few months.
Yeah, and that the people that they're paying rent to can float them for a little bit. Until things get back up and running. Nobody's suggesting that they should be open, full, you know what I mean? Here's the thing that's scary about it. And again, I was reading another interview with John Taffer, the guy from Bar Rescue. And I think he's 100% right. And I feel JP's wearing the Sup Dogs hat. And I think it's because Sup Dogs is in the finals again, right, against Kansas. Is it
Brett's
today?
Brett's going to be on in the 9 o'clock hour. I believe he's going to join us at 9:20. But, yeah, the good. Finals, the voting, if you want to – support Sup Dogs, I believe, starts at 7 tonight.
Good. So we'll all be in on that, and we'll support that, and we'll hopefully get them over the top. But I think Taffer is 100% right when he says, even when they give us the green light to kind of slowly reintroduce ourselves back into the regular world again, people aren't going to want to congregate. No. They're not going to want to be shoulder to shoulder in these restaurants. And, you know, and he thinks their restaurants are going to have to take 50% of their capacity out. They're going to have to spread people out. And I was thinking about Brett last night. You know, a bar like Brett's was packed. You know, a college bar, where, okay, now college kids are a little more immune to stuff. They don't really care.
Yeah, I don't think college kids will care.
They won't, but there's still probably, going to be some regulations about it. There's still going to be some, they're going to have misgivings. He's going to have to adapt. You know, he's not going to have, right. You're not going to be able to have kids just packed in there like sardines initially. You're just not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and that's part of his and every other bar's business model. You want to be as close to capacity as you can.
Right, of course. And it's been just an amazing business for him. But it's going to have to change a little bit, at least I think for the next 12 months or so until they get this riddle solved. And it's going to be brutal. So, like, a guy like Brett might be open, but he still might not be able to make money. Because you're going to have to be at half capacity. Or for him, maybe quarter capacity.
It depends on the medical side.
Yes.
If they find a vaccine, if they find therapeutics, if the numbers start coming way down.
Once they find a vaccine, that'll be good. But until then, it's all just going to be Band-Aids.
Absolutely. Sure.
And the vaccine is, I mean, I heard last night, Fauci's for the first time suggested this one, and I've watched everything. First time I saw him say, if we get to a point where the second wave is coming and we have just even some data that a vaccine is working, we can fast track it, just get it out there. Which I've never heard him say that before.
Man, that's how desperate they are.
Yeah. So if we could just see, because I think he said they did it maybe with SARS or Ebola. Like if you just see a little bit of it, then we're at the point now where we might just approve it and get it out there. And not necessarily have to wait 18 months, 2 years, whatever. So, yeah, I feel for restaurant owners and places where, you know.
Hotels.
Places where you're packed, though, like concerts. Broadway shows.
Games.
Right.
Games. We're used to just being packed in there like sardines. I just don't see that happening in the next 12 months.
Well, that's why I supported the local spot. That's a spot which my family likes. I pray that it's still around in 3 or 4 months whenever this is behind us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think all of us have been to a Coastal Flats, but it's a nice spot in my neighborhood. It's a good spot for the family. It works for the little ones. It works for the older ones. It works for the picky ones. And the bread is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it.
So I did Coastal Flats. What'd you do, Cakes?
I did Moco Sushi.
Moco Sushi.
Take out sushi.
Nice.
So, I mean, I can't put that in the microwave.
What do you guys get?
That's right.
My kids generally get rolls, and I will get sashimi because I like to dodge the king rice.
Yeah, the rice, the king really, that doesn't go down well for you.
No, so I need to avoid that pretty much.
And what did Bish do?
Well, my daughters wanted Matchbox, but I drove by Matchbox in One Loudoun. It was just an eerie scene because it was completely empty. One Loudoun is a little town center near my house that's always packed with restaurants
and it's got
and
a
bars.
Top Golf right there, right?
It's got Top Golf, but everything's shut down. Anyway, so Matchbox was closed. I thought it would be open, you know, for curbside. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. So
see Monte Nicholson walking around One Loudoun? No,
there wasn't even former Skins out there.
Yeah.
And so then we went to the old haunt, went to Passion Fin.
Of course.
Very good. The go-to.
Got the sushi. Yep.
So did you, like, order via phone before you got there, or you just went?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Just called it in.
I mean, my daughter was, believe it or not, this is kind of pathetic, but she was my youngest begging for Chick-fil-A. But it's just such a hassle. The closest Chick-fil-A is 15 minutes away. I got to go drive over to Rockville to get it. And I told her, if I do it, I'm not going to let you eat it in the car because I'm trying to follow what this doctor said. I got to dump it all on the table, and then I got to go put it in the microwave. And then she just said, screw it.
Right.
So I was off the hook.
I had
leftover turkey burger again. Well, my kids all had steak.
Lots of leftovers at the Bickle House.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to eat the food.
Sure.
Man,
you don't
want
to waste it. You don't want to toss it out.
We'll dine in today.
I've done Chick-fil-A a bunch, EB. I'll tell you this. My experience with Chick-fil-A, you know, they always have a great reputation for, you know, welcoming staff.
Yeah.
I think that they are absolutely doing everything possible to protect and to speed up the process. They've got people outside with gloves and everything. And then when you actually go up to the drive-thru, at least the one that I've been to, they have people on the inside. You can see everybody's wearing their gloves. And then they pass it to somebody on the outside who's got gloves who then gives it to you.
Which is great. But as the doctors have pointed out, the glove thing is silly because you got to take it off after every time you touch stuff. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So it's
I don't know. At some point, I'm just
I'm sure they're not
faith
doing
in the
that
man above.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to do that. You can go crazy.
I keep thinking about that.
But
if there is a God, JP.
Well, there better be.
Oh, I think about that all the time.
I think this has made a lot of people.
Do.
A lot of wrestling with it.
I've noticed this. I think my kids pay a little bit more attention when we say a little prayer at dinner. They pay a little bit more attention. So, I don't know.
Silly grace.
But then there can
be
the tough questions of, well, if there's a God, why would they do this?
Right. Well, I have some canned answers for that my mom has given me.
Right.
I have some canned answers.
Yeah. I might need that cheat sheet, EB.
Yeah. Talk to my mom. She's got some answers. She's got some plausible, you know, scenarios. But look,
so yesterday the numbers exploded, right?
Say again?
The numbers exploded again yesterday, right?
I didn't really look at the numbers because I just know that they're bad.
The next 2 weeks is going to be really bad.
I think yesterday I follow this one guy who just lists the number of deaths and the number of cases day by day. And when you look at what it was on March 1st to today, which is April 1st, it's absurd. But I think it jumped from roughly around 3,000 deaths to about 3,900 deaths last night.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the rate of doubling and all that stuff is what you got to look at now. Until it hits that peak. They got pretty good handle on it. I thought they did an amazing job explaining it yesterday to Fauci and Birx, where even though they're saying the low-end number is 100K to 240 potentially, if it stays on this track, that's all kind of based on the model that the other cities kind of follow along with New York and New Jersey. But because New York and New Jersey is just kind of out of control. We've kind of already lost those. We're just trying to mitigate as much as we can. But they're there are 48 other states, even though some are hotspots, certainly. If we can hold them down the way Washington, the state of Washington, held itself down, that number will come down. It will fall below 100,000.
Those charts that they revealed yesterday showed that.
Yes.
That the peak will hit in the next 2 to 4 weeks, but then slowly but surely it's going to come back down if everyone continues to stay at the house.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But the projections, and I thought this is an excellent subtle point by Dr. Birx, the projections are based on the other states all following the exact same model of New York.
Right.
But New York just got a little behind the curve on it, and it's just kind of out of control.
Yeah, they waited too long.
But Washington State was the initial hotspot, and they've clamped it down early. So did California. If the other states can follow that model, we will fall below that 100K number.
This virus was in these cities way back in the fall. I'm convinced. In fact, I was talking to someone who's in the health industry here in Loudoun County, and they said there were people diagnosed in, you know, late December, early January that had all the same symptoms, but they were testing negative for the flu. It was here. It was in New York. It was in New York probably in October, November.
I think, like I was diagnosed with bronchitis. Now it was in late August, but I think a lot of people were diagnosed with bronchitis that probably had it.
Yeah.
You know? Because they just look at you and listen to you and they can't figure it out, so they just say, it's bronchitis.
So I think that we're seeing, if there's any positive out of it from yesterday, we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, just based on those models that Fauci and Birx were showing us.
Definitely, but it's still scary as hell. And that, the next 2 weeks, if you watch the news, it's going to be heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers are going to be staggering. And you know, like having these trucks, these freezer trucks where they're just rolling bodies out every 2 minutes.
It's still very surreal.
Oh, it's unbelievable. But it's good. I thought that press conference yesterday was really good. I mean, they were just being honest about everything.
It seemed like it went forever.
It was like 2 hours.
Was it long? Oh,
I mean, it was a long.
I was listening to it on the radio on the way back from the restaurant, and I sat in my car for a little bit, but then I said, well, I got to go inside. We got to go eat.
It's a lot of the same stuff over and over and over, but I think
they got to get the message out. Same thing Hogan's doing in Maryland, trying to get on TV as much as possible, get the message out, because a lot of people still haven't been taking it seriously. The fact that all those people went out in New York to take pictures of the stupid boat,
the Comfort.
Yeah, I give them.
It's not a stupid boat. I get it. I shouldn't minimize. It's fantastic.
It's a hospital.
Yes, but they're taking picture of the ship.
Yeah, I give them a little bit of a pass just because they have nowhere to go. There's too many people in the city.
You just have to be smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You can hunker down and watch it come into the harbor on TV.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I'll say.
I agree.
You know, President Trump does his long press conference, and then they always show on national TV Governor Cuomo's press conferences. He does his roughly around 11, 11:30.
Yeah.
And he's very passionate.
Yeah.
And he talks about feelings, and obviously his brother was diagnosed with it, but he talks about his mom all the time.
He does and a lot of talking. People, Joan on Trump, he talks forever, too.
Yeah, he talks, but it's a totally different tone. His is a more emotional, sympathetic, empathetic tone. And what he points out is he's like, you just have to be smart. Stay home. He's passionate about it. Stay home.
Yeah. No, I like him. He comes off as pretty likable right now. He's definitely. I've enjoyed watching his pressers, too.
80% of the country right now, 80% is at a stay-at-home, you know, mandate.
Yeah. Well, it should be 100%. I mean, there's no real – what's the reason for the other 20% outliers?
I guess they're just waiting for it to hit, like, hotter.
I mean, there's some place –
here's the deaths just the last few days. March 27th, we were at 1,588.
Yeah.
March 28th, 2,043.
Yeah.
The 29th, 2,419. The 30th, 3,004. And then as of last night, 7 or 8 hours ago, 3,835.
You can see it only went up 400 in the day before. It went up 1,000, though, right?
Yes. I think the rate of multiplying is slowing.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually, believe it or not.
I don't think it's gone up 1,000 on any single day.
I thought you said it went from 2,400 to what?
To 2,419.
And then
to
what?
3,004 to 3,035.
Right, so 24 to 3,000.
Oh,
3,000.
Oh, yeah, in 2 days. Yeah.
Oh.
In 2 days.
So when you say 3,004, you mean 3,004?
Correct.
Okay. I thought you meant 3,400.
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, but then if you actually look at the models that they were citing yesterday, and look, everything's subject to change, everything's subject to the behavior, everything's subject to how states are handling it. There's a million factors, but when you look at those projections, and they're going to project that actually they'll probably be over 1,000 today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they will.
Yeah. But I'm just hoping what Dr. Birx is hoping, that the other 48 states can do a better job of wrangling it for whatever, you know, with the hindsight that they've learned from the other, you know, from New York and New Jersey. And then they could keep those numbers down, and it will fall dramatically below the 100K.
What was the word yesterday on the medicines?
Well, I'm telling you, they're getting a lot of reports, good reports on the hydroxychloroquine. Nobody likes to report it because Trump's behind it, so they truly do not want to see that. People are just disgusted by it. But the Michigan governor, who has not gotten along well with Trump, and Trump's belittled her.
Right. She's a Dem.
She initially threatened to, like, pull the license of any doctor that prescribed it. And then yesterday, she now asked the she now giving doctors permission to use it.
Was that a political reason she was doing that?
Well,
or?
I think people.
No,
just,
it's an efficacy thing.
Well, I
they
think
don't want to risk promoting a drug if it backfires.
Well, the FDA probably it helped that the FDA acknowledged that there's enough evidence to see that it's worth trying, and so the FDA approved it. And also, she said in her defense that they didn't want it to get hoarded so that the people that take it for lupus and arthritis aren't able to get it. So it's a delicate balance, and it definitely is. But they're using it in Michigan to some great success. And in New York, a bunch of doctors have reported some success. I don't think it's the only thing. I think there's going to be a ton of drugs that work, but I think it's one of them.
Yeah, that's good.
That is showing some promise.
All right, should mention on the show today, we've got John Keim, who covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. I guess we'll hit the Skins at 7 o'clock. Brett, our former producer, now owner of Sup Dogs at East Carolina and North Carolina, he's going to join us because, once again, his bar is in the best college bar for Barstool finals. He's in the
That's
finals
unbelievable.
Once
They're
again.
They're going to repeat.
They could repeat. I mean, yep. They beat Maryland, and Maryland had all the Big Ten and everybody.
Yep. Took down R.J. Bentley's.
Can we take down Kansas?
I think he
I
can,
I don't know why
man.
Not.
He's a master of social media, and he's using the power of the Junks.
Yes.
So good hit you to our
I mean, who wants
listeners.
To go to a bar in Lawrence, Kansas?
Yeah. We've got to be able to beat them. Come on.
So he's going
to
join us at 9:20, and it's not a sponsored game show Wednesday, but I actually prepped a game for the rest of you guys to play later in the show. I think we're going to do that at
good.
9 o'clock.
Some levity. I like
that. Yeah, we're going to spice it up a little bit.
I'm psyched.
All right, we're the Junkies coming right back on a Wednesday morning on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington this Wednesday morning. Tomorrow's going to be kind of cool. Tomorrow, we're going to be celebrating opening day. I understand there are no games, but we're going to celebrate opening day, even though there isn't a game, and we're going to use it to raise money for a very worthy cause in our community. Paisano's has stepped up to the plate. Not just pizza, but something for everyone. Paisano'sPizza.com.
Very good.
And in support of National's Philanthropies and their mission to provide support and funds to fight food insecurity in the D.C. area, we're going to be celebrating the Nats being World Series champions all day. Mike Rizzo is going to join us on the show. Other guests from the Washington Nationals are going to join the other shows throughout the day. So we would be celebrating. We'd both be, you know, we'd be ready for the home opener and celebrating things in Nationals Park, and we're just going to kind of celebrate it all day tomorrow.
Perfect. And thank you again to Paisano's for stepping up during this difficult time and sponsoring it. So that's awesome. I'm going to have to go out and maybe get a pie or two and some wings from Paisano's. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, eat out again.
Absolutely.
By the way, last night, I forgot to tell you, so, you know, I ordered from Passion Fin. And I ordered a bottle of wine, a bottle of J-Lore. It's good. Okay. It's, you know, it's pretty cheap. It's probably $15.
Not bad.
And brought it home. And we didn't open it because we still had a little bit left from the night before.
Okay.
So we just had a glass of wine with dinner. I woke up this morning. My wife drank the entire bottle last night.
What? You're kidding.
She crushed it.
She pummeled it.
I was bitter. I was looking forward to having it today.
Wow. Start to finish without
you. She just crushed the entire bottle. I was like, no freaking way.
That's pretty impressive.
Because you didn't even open it by the time you went to bed. What time did you go to bed? You're still going to bed at an absurd hour? Like
I went up around 8:15, and I probably fell asleep.
How you do it, man?
Well, no, I didn't fall asleep at 8:15. I went to bed at 8:15, and I watched The Walking Dead. So I probably went to bed at 9.
So Teresa's going to sleep till noon today, probably.
I can't believe she crushed the entire
thing. You drink an entire bottle of wine. You can't wake up early the next day.
Gone. And my daughters weren't helping out because they don't like wine. That was my wife. Unless she had someone come over, which I doubt, she crushed it.
Jason's actually sleeping more during this pandemic.
He's going to bed at the same time.
A lot of people are sleeping more, but he's so disciplined, he's still going to bed early. I talked with my mom yesterday, and she was like, you look tired. And I was like, I shouldn't be tired. I'm sleeping an extra, I don't know, 45 minutes or so doing the show from home. But, see, I watch a couple of shows. I'm behind you guys on Ozark. I mean, Jason finished Ozark in 2 days. So I stayed up last night. Once I got the little one to sleep, and I watched a little of Chris Cuomo because I was just curious to see. Here's a guy who's about our age who has coronavirus. Let's see what he looks like. So I watched that for like 15, 20 minutes, and then I watched Homeland finally. You know, Cakes, Jason, and I all watch Homeland, and next thing I know, I was going to bed around 11:15.
Right.
That was a very depressing episode of Homeland, by the way. Like,
because Max
piled on top of the coronavirus.
Max got housed.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it was bad.
But getting back to last night, I mean, I went probably fell asleep at 9:15, 9:30. But honestly, boys, I do not sleep until, you know, 5:15, 5:30. My body gets up still around 4, and I look at the clock, and maybe I doze off for another 10 minutes, but then I'm up again. So I don't get quality sleep from 4 to 5:30. I'm still up.
Yeah, I don't either, but I'm going to bed later. I'm getting this weird second wind, and I like to watch the news at night, and it's just hard to sleep. So, but I sleep during the day. I'll take all these naps.
I tell you what, Jason is impervious. I would think that you would find it hard to sleep after watching Walking Dead, because that's a show where
they haunt you.
Killing zombies is a lot of adrenaline on the show. Like, it's not necessarily just the zombies. There's scenes where people kill other people, but it's a lot of violence, and it's a show which really kind of gets you charged up, and next thing you know, he's Z-ing it up, sleeping.
That's what melatonin does, bro.
So you don't have to watch anything, like, lighthearted after you watch, like, zombies' heads rolling down the street? You
can
just turn that off and go straight to bed?
Lights out. Fan on, lights out.
Yeah, it's kind of
melatonin in the bloodstream.
Yeah.
See, that show, Cake says, Homeland's depressing. Homeland didn't depress me other than the same thing that depressed me about Walking Dead. Homeland just, it was episode 8.
Yeah.
So you know there's just a couple left.
I know, not a lot left.
And then
left
it's done. Like,
watch.
That show's off the air. They're never coming back. This is the last season of Homeland.
You think Carrie will die at the end, or will she survive?
I think she'll survive.
I think she'll survive. Just so it's open ended. So if they ever want to
you know,
fire
her back
up again, she's still alive.
Yeah, it'll bring her back. She'll probably never. Notice how they got rid of her kid. Kids are always a distraction on shows.
Expendable.
They got rid of that kid. You haven't seen that kid in 2 seasons.
What was Fanny? Was it
Franny? I believe
Franny. Yeah. Franny. I mean, the storyline was she almost drowned her in the bathtub.
Right.
It basically looks like she did submerge her in the bathtub because you don't
see
her anymore.
So I think her sister maybe has custody of Franny.
Yeah,
that
whole storyline is gone.
Again.
Well, you're never going to see Franny again because they don't ever go back to the United States.
Right.
Right.
Well,
right.
Look, they realized, what is our bread and butter? Terrorism.
Correct.
So let's do terrorism shows and not have these distractions where people don't care about her stupid kid.
I'm going to
focus
on
terrorism.
I'm going to start Bloodline today, JP.
You'll love it. I think you're going to like it. Pretty much as you like Ozark, especially because you like the actors. But anyway, the thing which is depressing me about Walking Dead is that was the second to last episode.
Right.
So they're going to show an episode next week, and then they would have a finale, but they didn't finish editing or filming the finale, whatever it is. So that's open-ended until Hollywood comes back.
I'm telling you, we're going to start to hit this period where with Hollywood shutting down in a few months – there's going to be a dearth of new stuff coming out.
You have to go back to the oldies. And EB, you'll be happy to know that I'm very late to the party on this, but my daughter and I have gone down the staircase wormhole.
Oh, nice.
Years later.
It's
We're like four episodes
in. Don't you like it? It's riveting.
The weird part is we saw the condensed version on Forensic Files like two months ago.
Right.
And then we're like, let's do the whole thing. I think it's 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fascinating, especially because you know his fate at this point. You know he's guilty. That how much money he spent on his defense and all of the people that they're bringing in, like witness coaches and, you know, focus groups, and it didn't matter because he got found guilty anyway.
Well, no, you haven't seen the end, right? I don't think he's in jail right now.
Yeah, Cakes.
He's not?
Dude.
Spoiler alert. This is a curveball. He's not in jail right now?
I don't think so.
I'm watching this under the guise of, I think he's locked up in a pen somewhere.
No. There are a lot of twists and turns on this one, dude.
It's called
appeal.
I guess so. I need to keep watching.
Yeah,
the one where the theory is, the conspiracy theory is that an owl came in.
The owl theory.
I haven't gotten that far yet, even though I know that theory exists.
Yeah. No, that's a great one.
Yeah, it's good, but that's what people are going to be forced to do if there's no new content. They're going to go back into the archives.
Yeah, I'll probably, at that point, I'll have to go to Breaking Bad because I haven't seen it.
Yeah. You know, and there'll be plenty of time to watch.
I'll tell you this, I keep saying it. I'm about halfway through episode 7 of Ozark. And I just don't have the attention span for it. I'm not loving it.
Do you watch it with your phone?
No, like, I watch
it
on my I watch it on my computer, but you know, I'll sometimes browse other things while I'm watching.
Hold on, you don't like the new season?
It's
Why don't you put that thing on your big screen? Your 100-incher.
I don't know you anymore.
It's fine, Jason. I don't have the attention span for it, to be honest with you. I have to watch it over and
over.
It needs undivided attention.
Yeah.
I hope that they paid the actor a lot of money who plays Wyatt Langhorne to have the sex scene with a 70-year-old.
With Darlene?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So
See,
gross.
Now you're giving it away. I'm only
acting,
two and a half episodes in.
I'm sorry.
It's just too implausible. The whole thing is just absurd. But
hello, Hollywood's absurd.
I loved the first two seasons. This one, it's eh.
I thought I showed remarkable restraint yesterday. I don't think I've ever done this where an episode ended. I think it was on episode 5. And you know how Netflix is. It goes straight into the next episode.
You got like 3 seconds.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I don't think I can just start it and only watch 15 or 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But I did. I watched like 15 minutes. It was like 10 o'clock at that point. And
well,
then
I do
shut
it all the time.
Down.
I do it all the time. I watch it in 15-minute increments because I just get – it's just too much.
Yeah, but
I'm
so riveted by it. Like, I want – once it starts, I want to see it through.
I just love how there's all this chaos and commotion and stress surrounding Marty Bird.
Yeah.
But you would never know it when he talks. He's right. Always very calm.
Well, he's always Jason Bateman.
He's always Bateman.
Jason
yeah.
Bateman. Jason Bateman's it all the time.
There's only
everything,
a couple.
But
only,
I love him. He's great.
There's only a couple scenes where he really gets pissed.
Right.
But most of the time, 90% of the episodes, he's just chill.
Right.
Have you noticed he directs a lot of the episodes?
Yes.
I don't know
yes.
if he directed all of them, but he directs a lot of them. Just like when he was on The Outsider only for a couple episodes, a show which Jason and I watched on HBO. I think he directed the first couple episodes of that series.
He's probably doing it simultaneously.
He's just a mogul. Good for him.
Yeah, he's really good. I'm just ready. Oh, I think the acting in it is spectacular. It's just there's so many little storylines, and they're all kind of coming together.
Well, that's what happens, too. I've said this many times. A show like that, the writers really prepare a story arc for one season. When they get popular, then they got to start coming up with new things.
It just gets more and more implausible.
Yeah, just like, you know, we all liked 24 back in the day with Kiefer Sutherland. So, like, the first season of 24, you could maybe buy into it, and then he became more and more of a superhero.
Yes.
The further that show went along where he's freaking directing a plane, with wires
with the cables
underneath the plane.
Yeah, yeah. That's where it starts to lose me, the implausibility of all of it. But it's fine.
Well, I whatever. Just like the character. Ozark's much better than the end of 24, the last few seasons of 24, because the characters are so
well,
much
the more acting
appealing.
Is so good. I mean,
yeah.
They're
but
all
But I stand
great.
By this theory. Like, Jason and I don't remember how many guys watched Prison Break. Prison Break, excellent show. The guy goes to prison to break his brother out. That's the mission of the show, right? By the end of the show, after 5 or 6 seasons, they're breaking into prisons.
Right.
Like, what the hell's going on? They're in their, like, third prison.
I definitely get salty every time they do a shot of, is it the Missouri Bell? Is that the name of the casino?
Right.
I have casino withdrawal.
I agree.
I see you know, people hanging at the bar.
You know
I
what?
See, I wonder where they... I hear the slot machines.
No,
and
tomorrow
it's,
we're going to play
me.
A casino game, Cakes.
Okay.
We're going to do something on the air casino related.
Very good.
I prepped the game
I'm
today.
I'm all in.
We just got to do something to spice it up.
All right. I'm there for it.
All right, coming up next, we're going to play some clips from some of the guys who are new Redskins who spoke yesterday. Kyle Allen, who is the backup quarterback, although he wants to compete for the starting job with Dwayne Haskins.
Apparently he was told he's got the opportunity to compete for the job.
We'll play some of those clips and dissect that. And Thomas Davis, who, of course, played under Ron Rivera many years as one of the better linebackers in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. Now, of course, he's with the Redskins. We'll play some of those clips. Plus, we'll fill you in on the latest news with the Redskins at 7 o'clock. Our man John Kime from ESPN.com will join us here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington this Wednesday morning. Coming up at 7 o'clock, John Keim from ESPN.com, NFL insider, Redskins beat guy, is going to join us. We'll get a little skinny from John, but we wanted to play some clips, mostly from Kyle Allen, but we do have a clip from Thomas Davis. Maybe we should play Thomas Davis first. So he's going to play outside linebacker for the Redskins. I think that's where he's projected to play. Bostic's going to be the middle linebacker, and you're going to have Thomas Davis as an outside linebacker. He talked about the difference between Ron Rivera and other coaches. This is a Ron Rivera loyalist. So here's Thomas Davis now with the Redskins.
It's a lot different playing for Coach Rivera because he's a guy that played the game. And whenever you play for a coach that plays the game, they understand what guys are going through. They listen more. They adjust the schedule more. They understand at any given point in the season that it's not about tearing guys down. It's about uplifting your players. And that's something that Coach Rivera has been really good at. You know, and I just had the opportunity to go out to L.A. and play for Coach Lynn, another guy that played the game. So whenever you have two guys like that that definitely know what players are going through at all times, they tend to, while not being easy on guys, they tend to understand guys a lot more. And that's been my experience playing under Coach Rivera.
Does Thomas Davis have the dreaded fire alarm chirp in the background during?
I think that's a conference call.
Yeah, it's a conference call. So I think some of it's the beat reporters like checking in. And
those are dreaded cakes. You're right.
Oh, they're the worst.
Trying to track that down. Which one's doing it?
They always strike at like 2:15 in the morning. And it takes 45 minutes to figure out which one it is. It is the absolute worst.
Well, all the worst is when people ask questions. Redundant questions about things that are on a copy sheet.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's play the Kyle Allen clips because I thought they were interesting, especially when he talks about, I don't know if we have the clip of it here, but at some point he talked about how the coaches told him he's been given you know, an opportunity to compete for the job, whereas Rivera publicly said they're expecting Haskins. But privately, they're telling Kyle Allen, you have an opportunity to compete for this job.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But since we just played what Rivera was like as a head coach from Thomas Davis, why don't we play Kyle Allen's perspective on what makes Rivera a good coach? Here's Kyle Allen, the new quarterback for the Redskins.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for what was there before, but coming into Carolina the first day I got there, you know, he brought me aside and talked to me and said, you're going to get a chance. And I was the fourth quarterback at that time, and he was going to get a chance to take advantage of your reps. And in practice, he would make sure he would still come and say things to me and work with me. And as a head coach, you don't got to do that to the fourth guy, you know. I think at that time, they brought me in to be a camp arm, you know, and I turned out to be more than that. But just that first impression was really cool to me. And then just the overall culture that he built there over however many years he was in Carolina. You know, he was a player's coach. All the players loved him and respected him. And if you were in that room that day that he said his goodbyes to all of us after he got let go, it was not a dry eye in the room, man. Everyone had a ton of respect for him, players, staff included, and he built that culture. He deserves to have that respect. And so I think there's going to be a mutual respect between all the players and the coaches. I think he really is going to get the most out of you, but he cares about you too. And so there's some of the coaches like that in the league, and there's some that are not like that. And he's one of my favorite head coaches I've ever played for.
Pretty mature guy. He's only 24. Yeah. Pretty mature guy.
Saying all the right things.
Yeah.
But that is good. Look, he came in as a fourth guy that thought he was going to be camp fodder, and he was, because of injury, the starter this year for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure no matter what he thinks about where he is on the pecking order right now, he probably believes that he can become the starter and some of those things Eric talks about. Now, he's going to also have familiarity with the system, which gives him a leg up.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about Scott Turner's system. Of course, Norv's son is now the offensive coordinator for the Redskins. Here's Kyle Allen on what the offense is going to be like.
I think the system it's a really good system, and I think it takes a decent amount of time to really learn and grasp onto. I think it's evolved a lot over the years since Norv kind of started with it back in the day, and I think that it took me like a solid like month and a half before I really – like felt comfortable out in practice and going through the plays.
And then after that, you know, you just slowly evolve and get better and better and more comfortable in it. But it's tough to grasp at first, but once you grasp it, it's really fluid. You can add a lot of things into it evenly. You can really maneuver it in different ways to help the team out. So I think it's a really good system, and I think Scott has a really good idea with what he wants to do with it.
You know, he's played 15 games. He started 13. He's basically got double the experience Dwayne has. He's older. I'm sure, I don't know his college career, but I'm sure he had more reps in college than Haskins. He knows the system. This is going to be an interesting, if they ever have a camp and they ever have any kind of real competition, this could get really interesting.
Yeah, I think really he has much more of a shot of being the starter early than I think a lot of people ever gave him.
I agree. And apparently Valdez does have the clip where he talks about Rivera telling him he has an opportunity to compete for the starting job.
Yeah, when they traded for me, kind of random. You know, I didn't really expect you to trade it. Just signed a contract in Carolina 2 weeks before. So, interesting experience. But just talking to the coaches, talking to Ron, and you know, I think the expectation is to come in and compete for the job. That's an awesome opportunity, and I think that's kind of cool, and I think it's cool to be back with the coaches I went before in a similar system. So we'll see. You know, I'm just going to take advantage of my reps. Like, I did in Carolina when I was the fourth string 2 years ago, and I got 3 reps in training camp. Now it's just need more reps. Just keep taking advantage of them.
It's amazing because you were asking about his college career. He basically was a backup all through college, too. I think there was 1 year because he was playing behind – you know, some highly recruited guys like Kenny Hill at A&M and Kyler Murray. And then he transferred to Houston, and he got benched at Houston. So he was basically, between A&M and Houston, a backup for, I don't know, 4 years?
3 years. Well, he still threw three. So Haskins had 50 touchdowns in the one season. He had 37 over 3 years at Texas A&M and Houston. I wonder who.
But
had
Houston, he
more
never
snaps.
He hardly ever played at Houston.
Yeah, it says he had. He threw 105 passes. Yeah.
Look, he's going to have a leg up because he's going to know the system, and
it's
he
a
knows
big leg
Scott
up.
Turner.
Yeah,
and so it's going to depend on what are the first impressions that Haskins makes on these guys once they start having training camp. Should there be a training camp? Like if Haskins all of a sudden is fumbling the plays, doesn't know the playbook, is throwing picks, well, then all of a sudden Kyle Allen may be the starter. But I think they're going to start with the thought that Haskins is the starter. Here's what Allen said about Scott Turner in particular, the new OC for the Redskins.
Yeah, I think they're getting a really good young coach, and I've spent a lot of time with Scott over the past 2 years and just grinding out installs, grinding out tape, doing everything. And I think Scott is really got his opportunity in the last four games of the season last year, and I think he showed well, and I think Coach Rivera saw that, and a lot of other people saw that too, and gave him opportunity. So I think you're getting a good young, not crazy young, but a young offensive coordinator who has been there before and who studied under North Turner, one of the best in the games for his, basically since he was born. You know, there's a picture of him when he was 12 years old throwing the ball on the sidelines of the Redskins. So I think this is kind of full circle for him. It's really cool for him, and I think it's going to be a really good opportunity for him and for the Redskins, too. I think it's a good fit.
I would be very surprised if Haskins lost out to Kyle Allen. I mean, if that's the case, then it's just disaster with Haskins.
I think it's very possible. He knows the system. He's older. He's more experienced. His third year as a pro.
I know, but he's not as naturally gifted. I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. And I understand why they brought him in, because they know him and he knows the system. And it's going to be a tough offseason for Haskins, because he's not going to be able to play with these guys. But, man, I would be really
surprised. Think about this, Jason. They didn't just sign him off the trash heap. They traded for him.
I know they traded for him. I know.
Right, fifth-round pick, part of
it. I was surprised by that, believe me.
You know, usually you don't do that kind of thing. I'm telling you, this is going to get interesting. Now, hopefully Haskins balls out and it just takes off, and it's just unquestioned that he's the guy.
Well, if that's the case and Kyle Allen beats out Haskins, then obviously they should have taken Tua at number two.
Probably.
Because Kyle Allen
probably
not getting you very far as a starter.
Well, then it has you in the running for Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
The next year of the draft.
All right, tank for Trevor.
It probably does.
Yep.
Right.
Now, Allen did talk about some of the weapons they have with the Redskins, which we know they don't have a ton of weapons, but here's Allen talking about McLaurin.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Terry had a great year last year. Had an awesome year. you know, breakout star. And, you know, Sam's had a really good year last year. I haven't really got a lot of time to check out tape because I don't have an iPad. I don't think we're allowed to have any iPads yet or anything. So once we get through that, we can check out some tape. But I know there's a lot of young guys in their room, and I think we just traded for a couple guys or signed a couple guys. I've been having trouble following with all this stuff going on, but I think it's a young room. I think it's a talented room. And I think that's kind of the way with the whole team, you know. There's a lot of talent around the team. And I think bringing Coach Rivera in and the coaching staff and just kind of a clean slate, you know, I think it's going to be really, really good for the team.
I wonder where these young quarterbacks are actually going out and throwing. Because I was driving around yesterday, right, and Northam put in that mandate, stay at home. I saw a lot, you know, I was just walking the dog, and I saw a lot of cops out at the schools and at the parks. And they're just sitting in the parking lots.
They even closed the tennis court locally here, you know, just at my pool. Yeah. There's only two courts. They closed them.
I think the clip of Haskins throwing that came out, I want to say 3 weeks ago or so, I think that was at the St. James. But I don't know if that's
the
like St.
James,
thing.
By the way, God bless them, they're doomed.
Are they? Because I was going to say, they're not open.
They can't open until at least June 10 now.
Right.
And imagine the rent. And the overhead at that building, and they're getting literally zero revenue.
Yeah, well, that's why I mentioned Top Golf.
I don't know how they'll survive.
EB, that's why I mentioned Top Golf earlier, because I remember when we were in Florida, you were saying that you thought the franchise fee was like $7 million.
I mean, something outrageous.
Something big time like that. They
that's
just opened one not that far from me in Germantown. They're open for like a month, and then they're shut down. Like, think about all the money they put in to build that thing out. You open it up, and then a month. But still,
that pales in comparison to the cash that's flooded into the St. James to keep that thing afloat.
Yeah. That's a good point. But I just wonder where is Haskins going? He can't just go to a high school field. They're not going to let him play there. If they catch him, they're going to arrest him.
Backyard.
Well,
he's probably got a big one.
I don't know.
I'm sure he does, but and I don't know where Kyle Allen lives.
Look, for the next
Texas,
month,
but where are these guys throwing?
They're not going to be doing a whole lot of it. They're not going to. Yeah. I mean, you see, guys, who was it? Was it, oh, God, what's one of the, I can't remember, but one of the big league guys was in his condo. Did you see him? And he was hitting off a tee in his condo.
I think it was Joey Votto.
Yeah, Joey Votto.
Oh, was it?
I think it was Joey Gallo. Yeah. Gallo, you're right.
Oh, maybe Gallo, Joey Gallo.
I know it was Joey.
So he's like literally like in his dining room in his condo, and he had a big net up and a tee, and he's just, you know, getting his workout in his dining room.
Getting his cuts in.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we will talk a little more Redskins. John Keim, Redskins insider, joins us next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.